I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc.
And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas.
We bring together the mom experience and the doc expertise to give you the information and tools you need to help make the next right decision to get your child back.
Let's dive in.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. We are continuing on our little sort of mini series about the homeopathic healing of various aspects of PAMS and PANDAS. And today we're talking about cognitive regressions and school refusal. This is something that comes up so commonly in kids. The school refusal and the cognitive regressions are not usually related. They are separate things, but it's all about school stuff. And so we figured we would talk about them together. Jody, do you have a preference where we start?
Let's start with school refusal.
Okay. So school refusal is usually tied to separation anxiety, usually, right? And so we are going to see school refusal typically start to improve on the earlier side for most people, but not always, because the cognitive regressions can play a role and some of the social challenges and difficulties. But when it's purely social anxiety or separation anxiety that they're experiencing, anxiety tends to be a quicker, not immediate, but more steady state, quicker responding symptom. That was your experience. I know.
I think you remember this part stuff better than I do.
Well, she was young too. So yeah. We weren't dealing with as many of the additional complications. You had more of the, because she was in kindergarten when we first started working together. And so you had more of the, you know, can still have some normal separation anxiety at that age, depending on the kid and like just their personality type and sensory overwhelm for not necessarily from a sensory sensitivity perspective, but just we all have different sensory needs and yeah. Sensory capacities, I guess would be the word. So I recall that being something that she bounced back from pretty quickly, but we also got started really quickly. She was newer in school. She loved school before all of this, like her preschool or pre-K that she was in. She loved all of that before she got started. So it was a big shift for you when she started to refuse school. And yeah. It was an easier thing or relatively quick responding thing for going back.
Yeah, it was really like when she went into it, it was really, really shocking. And like the exact way that it happened for her, I think what you're saying is correct, that it was rooted in separation anxiety. But it was like the time where her OCD came out the most, like that, like waking up in the morning and then actually getting into the school is where OCD just was like ruling everything. And it was so hard. And those were the things, like there are certain things with PANS where I felt like I had a little bit of control. Zero control of that stuff. Like it had to play out. It had to go, like we had to go through the process that she needed to go through. And it was just, it was so disruptive. And also that was the one thing where it wasn't just disruptive inside my home. Like there were other people watching. Not only like they're watching, but then we also had the school that had problems with, you know, understandably, because we were late every day and she was missing classes and da da da, all that stuff. So there was like multiple levels of difficult in there other than just managing a symptom in the house.
Right. And that's an important thing to note, that the school refusal will oftentimes have lots of aspects. You'll probably see the rage that will come from being challenged, whether it's separation anxiety or yes, there's absolutely OCD that can lead to school refusal as well. And so you can see many of the PAMS symptoms present themselves with the school refusal. You could also have school refusal just because they can't stop going to the bathroom and they're worried about that and they don't want to have to ask or they don't want to have accidents or whatever that might be. They could be school refusal because they're embarrassed about tics that they're having or having a bully sort of situation. So school refusal is complicated and it depends on what's at the root of it. So if it's a separation anxiety and anxiety tends to be one of the faster moving responses, at least the separation anxiety. Sometimes more of the like general anxiety that might be a little bit slower to heal, but separation anxiety, oftentimes we can work through that on the faster side. And I'm not saying like weeks, I'm saying months at least, you know, for the average person. And you could be somebody who it goes away really quickly and within days to weeks, you're back to school, or you could be a year or more, even if it is just separation anxiety rooted.
Yeah.
If it's OCD rooted, it's going to be longer, as we've talked about in some of the episodes.
I do remember doing the meetings at the beginning of the year, doing her 504 meeting and like getting all of this stuff. I mean, it was a little bit after she had started because I was like, oh God, we got a problem. And getting all of this stuff set up and in place in order to like get her inside. But then I also remember that we didn't have to utilize it for that long. That's my memory of how quickly it kind of improved.
Yeah. So again, it depends on what's at the root of it. If there's OCD, as I was saying, that will probably take a bit longer for the OCD to heal and for that the school refusal component of it to recover. If it is rooted in some difficulties with their cognitive stuff and they're feeling frustrated and have low distress tolerance because of the cognitive stuff, school refusal is going to hang on a bit longer. And that's because the cognitive stuff tends to be slow to recover. But once it does, it goes fast. So once it gets started, it goes fast. So if we're looking for most people, the cognitive regressions, the difficulties with reading, writing usually gets better before the reading and the math skills. But those, the reading and math and the cognitive and comprehension, and everything that tends to, I'm talking like over a year for most people before we start to see improvements, sometimes into the second year or beyond before we see improvements. But then you'll see kids who are years behind catch up in months once it gets going. And the way I describe this for a lot of people is that PANS puts us into this state where we are fight or flight. And who cares about 4+4 if you think everything around you is dangerous and going to harm you? Or if you are not sure you're safe, who cares what it meant in this paragraph? You know, what the core, you know, summary or whatever it is. But once you're in a place of safety, homeopathy seems to really make it so that these kids, once it's clicked in, the inflammation is better under control, we're having less of the misdirected immune response, it really can start to kick in pretty quickly. For some people, this looks like we're not seeing a whole lot of PANS, but we're not catching up. What gives? What's going on? Do I need to be looking at dyslexia diagnoses? Do I need to be looking at other interventions? What might be going on with my kiddo here? That sometimes it's just give it a little bit more time and they'll catch up. So we're not going to have somebody catch up and progress beyond what they're capable of, what their innate capabilities are, but we'll see them catch up to what they were at before. And then sometimes, I mean, you'll see that they then move beyond, you know, Jody, I'm going to let you share what is my favorite story from that you shared with Avery.
With her catching, I mean, and I'm going to go a little bit backwards too, because this was such a, like, I think interestingly enough, this was one of the harder symptoms on Avery because she's a very intelligent girl, like loves reading, loves writing. I also think that if there were a love language where you are or I mean, maybe words of affirmation, but she likes to achieve when it comes to educational things. She likes to do well and she puts a lot of pressure on herself. And even back whenever she was younger, she was already doing it just because that's how she's wired. And for her not to be able to do these things well, all of a sudden was so like hard for her. And it was difficult. And what you're saying is correct. For her, the cognitive stuff lasted almost to the very end. It was just hard because, you know, you got the school asking questions, you got her really upset about it. And then the whole like, is this ever going to end? Because it felt like it was never going to end because it just kept going and going and going. But then towards the end, it like her, it's like her mind just started to work in the way that it had before in little pieces. But then it seems like there was like this place where she was okay. I think she still had a little bit of confidence issues that were lingering, but like cognitively she was okay. She could read normally again. She could write normally again. Her ability to do math was back again. And it was literally like, I don't even remember what the time frame was, but I went from like being freaked out, being worried, like, is she going to pass on to the next grade, whatever. And then to like months down the road, they're wanting to test her for GT because she caught up so quickly. And it's like, not only did, it's like she hadn't really missed anything. That's how quick her catch up was. It was like a matter of like 2 or 3 months. It was in, I don't know. It was just like, that was just like the biggest, like, wait, what just happened? Because it was such a significant difference from I'm having a hard time reading and writing to let's test this girl for gifted and talented because she is excelling in all categories. It's crazy. Yeah.
So because these can be some things that are a little bit stubborn, perhaps we should even pause for a second and think about our homeschool families, because you do get homeschool school refusal. So we can see that these are things that are often more associated with OCD or pathological demand avoidance, which you're going to have a full episode on that as well. So it could be related to one of those things. I'm trying to think, and it could also just be the cognitive component that is just really challenging. And so there's aversion to doing hard things, because who really likes to do hard things? We all have to psych ourselves up to do a hard thing, right?
ADHD, maybe?
There could be ADHD component that can contribute to a school refusal as well. And this is where we need to start looking at conversations with your provider about whether there might be something else underlying that perhaps because of where your child was at when the PANS was first identified might not have been something that would have been noticeable yet. So there can be ADHD that is PANS induced that we see only really come on with flares, but focus and attention is easy between flares. We can also have dyslexia and dysgraphia and dyscalculia that come on with flares that are PANS induced. And we can have it also underlying the PANS, that it is just present in the wiring, both ADHD and or any of the dyscalculia, dysgraphia, dyslexia that can be just part of how the brain is wired that exist separate from PANS, that those you're going to see a lot more consistency between flares. Yeah. For some people, you don't start in clear, flare, better, flare, better, flare, better. You might be flare and just stuck in a flare. And most people eventually get to the place, if they're not getting effective treatment, that their flares get to a place where they just are kind of stuck. And that's their new baseline, is this flared state. And it can be hard to tell. It can also be hard if you do have the flare patterns where you have a flare and then back to, you know, typical for your child with another flare the next time they get sick. But if they're like 3 or 4, you might not have any way to know if they had dyslexia prior to it. And even ADHD, there can be signs early on in more extreme cases. And some cases that are maybe like a bit milder or just the way that they present is not as challenging, you might not necessarily know until you get to some of these places where they're put in a position that is definitely not designed for how they're wired, or their coping strategies go out the wayside because of the fact that they now also have PANS, and they what they would do to cope before is no longer accessible to them. And so this is where, as you're starting to heal and you're seeing some of these patterns where you're having longer periods of doing well and many symptoms are improving, but you're seeing persistence of these types of things between flares, that's when you're going to have more indication of whether you might have something underlying that would require some additional testing, accommodations, therapies, you name it, to try and address and accommodate for just the way somebody is wired. So that's really where it can get a little bit tricky, that you can see both school refusal and some of the cognitive stuff overlap, that there might be an underlying factor that is not related to PANS, but can still look worse with a PANS flare. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Is there anything that you can offer, since these are things that can take a while to be clear if it's just PANS or if it is PANS and something else? And even if it is just PANS, can take a while to fully heal. Anything you want to offer parents for what you do in the meantime?
I can say what I wish, like, I really wish that I would have not been so freaked out and worried about it. because I was so, and more than anything, I wish I knew that it was okay to be good with absolute bare minimum. Like, I would not have pressured. I would not, like, and I wasn't like drill sergeant with Avery, but, you know, you're used to one level of academic performance and then it goes foomp. I wish I would have cared less about what the school was saying and doing. Like, I understand that they're doing what they need to do for the reasons they need to do it, but she missed school. She missed more school than she was supposed to. And everything was okay. She got behind. She got really behind. And everything ended up being okay. I wish I would have had less stress. That, like, that's the big thing right there. I was so worried about all of it. Like, I was so worried about the letter I got from the school. I was so worried about what her teacher thought about the situation, what all of that. And everything was fine. It was, I mean, she was doing bare minimum and bare minimum was totally fine. Like, and now if I were to do that again, 100%, all we're going for is a low C. And if we can accomplish low C, that's awesome, because this is not what would be happening if Avery was in her healthy state right now. So we're going to do bare minimum for a while and that's going to be totally fine. And I'm going to help you out a little more than I would normally help out a healthy child in order to make sure that things get done. I just wish I would have been less stressed and just like would not have, I didn't pressure her that much. I don't know what I'm trying to say right there, but I wish I would have cared less than I did.
Yeah, you might not have pressured her, but you felt the pressure yourself.
Yes, there you go.
So there's a lot of parents who are like, when is my kid going to catch up? What is going to happen? They're falling behind. How are they going to meet their milestones and all of that? And the reality is everything in life that is a developmental milestone, an academic milestone, anything is, it's arbitrary. It is all arbitrary. And at best, based on averages, which means that if you put a whole, like 100 people together, that the bulk of people are going to be within this range, but there's going to be outliers on all ends of the spectrum. And it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with those people necessarily. They just have a different pace. They have a different strategy. You know, I personally was worried about those types of things too, and even wanting to be ahead. And then life happened and undiagnosed PANS happened and I quit school. I quit college. I was ahead of the game and I dropped out, quit college and joined the Navy. And I ended up behind and I graduated. Technically, I graduated 2 years after I was expected to, if I were following the timeline. And I graduated 2 years after my high school peers. Okay. And I mean, I'm fine in life. It didn't set me behind. Like, my life is not over from it. And I also know that, like, there's the hard part where there's the social component too, because kids can be brutal. Kids are brutal. The kids are brutal. And that there can be the social part of keeping up and comparing and competing with your peers, and concerns about what's going to happen long term if your grades, like if you're going for the low C. I heard somebody say, yeah, but then they won't get into the college they want to go to if they're getting low C's. Okay. Does that mean that there's not going to be anything good that comes if they don't get into like the top college, except for maybe they're not going to be in a cutthroat environment that's going to cause a lot of distress and potentially send them backwards anyway? Because who really does well in that type of environment anyway? We're having a reckoning that's coming for our kids about school and college and what actually matters in life. And, you know, Gen Z has taken us into some of that reckoning with what really matters in life. And technology is going to take us through another part of it. And so all of it, I feel like we just have to let go of some of it and meet our kids where they're at. If homeschool is what works for you, great. Homeschool until they're ready to shift and then put them back into regular school. If regular school works well, but you need accommodations, then do that. You have to work with what works for your family too, you know?
For sure. It's hard. It's hard while it's hard to, I think intuitively we all know, like we all know what the right thing is. Do I leave them in school? Do I take them out of school? Like, we know what's best for our kids, and going with whatever your gut is telling you is best for your kid. Just do it and don't feel bad about it.
Well, and I think that for those of you who are listening to that and saying, but I don't know, I can't figure it out and I don't have a gut sense. And no matter what I decide, then I'm second guessing myself and thinking, but what about this? What about this? I'm summoning my therapist right now. And she would say, it's okay to not know. You don't have to know. We just have to make a choice. And then we see. And just because you make a choice doesn't mean it's permanent either. So the choice can be, we're not doing any school at all for the rest of the year because it's just too much distress and we need to have the capacity to heal first so that we can move through this more effectively and easily. But that's not, doesn't mean you're never doing school again, right? So, all right. So this was the only thing that's really, really clear cut here is the cognitive stuff is probably going to be a while and it will probably move quickly. The school refusal component, we really have to look at the things that are underlying the school refusal and then really start to look, especially in like that middle ground of healing where you're seeing a lot of things really start to improve. You're seeing anxiety improve, seeing rage improve, seeing sleep improve, seeing OCD start to improve. And if you're still seeing the cognitive stuff really not budge, that's when it's potentially good to start asking questions of your provider or looking to see, is there potentially something else that we need to get evaluated for that could give us an additional resource or tools to make sure that they have what they need to be successful? Anything else we really need to add here?
I think so. Just sending love to anybody that is going through it right now. School refusal is a tough one. It's really hard to navigate. And I don't think any PANS parent has ever felt like they're doing it right.
Does any parent in any case ever feel like they're doing it right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's just a tough one. But just keep seeking healing. Like it's going to get better. It will get better.
It will.
Whatever healing looks like for you, just keep pushing and keep going and it gets better.
I guess the one other thing to just recognize and lean into is that it is going to be murky early on. It likely won't be very clear exactly what is underlying the school refusal. That will become clear as you start to heal. The same thing with the cognitive stuff. All of it's going to be murky and messy and muddy and just not really easy to put your finger on early on. So if you can't tell early on, don't distress. It will come. It will become more clear to both you and your provider and your child, and you'll start to understand more about what really the next steps are likely to be and where you're likely to see progress happen based off of whether it's anxiety driven, OCD driven, cognitive distress driven, and then bullying. Like we did mention bullying, we should just wrap it up one more time, that bullying, if there is an external factor, homeopathy is not going to help with that, right? If a person is being bullied until the bullying situation is taken care of, there's going to still be a certain amount of distress. And so that's also where we need to be ahead of the game as best as we possibly can and tending to and like learning what's happening in and around the school environment, because you're not going to fully recover from the symptoms you're experiencing from bullying until the bully situation stops. So that's another factor to consider. But all of it will get better. Hang in there. When you're confused, talk to your provider. They can help you sort out where they think that things likely are to the best of their ability, or tell you, I don't know yet, and we need to just give it a little bit more time to get more clarity and just stay focusing on the symptoms that you're seeing, what's presenting in front of you, including the cognitive stuff. The cognitive stuff might not drive the decision-making, and the school refusal itself is not necessarily helpful. We need to understand what happens around school refusal to be able to use it to select a remedy. But it is still useful. So just continue to report what you see and it will get clearer and clearer and clearer, and then it will improve. And then the cognitive stuff will start to progress shockingly fast is what I've heard from so many people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And again, as with all of these things, when we're talking about the homeopathic healing of any of these components of PANS PANDAS, we're talking again about averages. And like I was saying, just like the school milestones and everything are about the averages, you might be an outlier. These things might happen very fast for you for recovery. And they also might be very, very, very slow or just have a very different pattern. So this is the general average patterns that we see And if you fall outside of it, it does not necessarily mean that it's not going to help you with these things or that it's not working for you. It just might be that you are on the outlier, and we have to look at the totality of your case and the totality of the symptoms and how you're responding to really know what's happening. Okay.
Got it. All right.
We'll be back with another one of these little short episodes about the homeopathic healing of various symptoms next week. All right.
Bye,
take care, everybody.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We would love to connect with you on social media and have you as part of our amazing community. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas.
If Facebook isn't your thing, you can also connect with us on Instagram and YouTube by searching for Resilience Naturopathic or clicking the links in our show notes. You can also visit our website, resiliencenaturopathic.com.
As always, we value your partnership in advocacy and education. Your support through following, sharing, rating, and reviewing our podcast is crucial in our mission to teach the world about PANS, PANDAS, and homeopathy. So if you found this podcast helpful, please leave us a review. Together, we are making a difference.
And finally, this podcast really is for you. Your questions and feedback help us make sure we are answering the right questions so you can feel confident making the next right step for your kids. Send us your questions or request guests by emailing us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com, also linked in the show notes.